What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets presented by So Rare, live here on our FTN Network YouTube page, also on Game Plus Network. Chris Sweeney here with you. Quan, are you messing with me? I hear birds chirping. What is happening? The sun is not shining here north of the border. That whole intro, I just hear these birds chirping. I'm taking the headset out. I'm like, what is happening? I'm looking all around. Birds are chirping. I don't know. Quan, I feel like Quan is messing with me here on a Wednesday. I'm not really sure. Maybe there's this birds chirping in my head. Speaking of birds, we're going to talk about the Bluebirds in just a little bit. We have Nick Schlain of FTN joining us shortly. Of course, a lot of afternoon action in Major League Baseball. And with this show happening on Game Plus Network a little bit later on, after all of the action, there's only a couple games really to dive deep into. But Nick and I, off the top, we're going to take an early look at some of the afternoon action for those that are hanging out with us live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Of course, all of our picks, all of our bets, all the content from a DFS standpoint over at FTNbets.com, FTNdaily.com. And as you see there, thank you, Quan, FTNbets.com/free, 3-day free trial. And you're going to get all the picks across all sports, and they're all happening. I say this all the time, but they really are all happening. The Masters gets underway tomorrow, just like a week and a half left in the association, in the NBA and in the NHL before playoff time. And we're going to be with you all the way until that NBA championship trophy is won, and it won't be won by the Dallas Mavericks, as they're talking about resting Luka and Kyrie. Are you kidding me? What a disaster the Dallas Mavericks are. But the NHL playoffs will be with you until that Stanley Cup is raised. And again, our guy Josh Gross is winning picks all the time, and tennis and Major League Baseball in full swing now. So a lot of action over at FTNbets.com. And of course, we have the daily article, which is free to check out over there as well. And if you like what you see, you can sign up and hang out with us for a little bit longer. And then FTNdaily.com/free, as you see there as well. We have an optimizer in the NBA, in the MLB, NASCAR, PGA as well. So we're going to take care of you through the entire weekend when it comes to sports. So head on over there to our websites. And speaking of the Masters, we have this nice little graphic from our guy George, who tells me Rory's going to win, but then Rory's not going to win. He can't make up his mind, but Rory's on the board here. Azalea is the promo code, 20% off all kinds of golf content as well. Should be a fantastic Masters event. Of course, the guys are speaking today, the par three getting underway today as well. They were skipping some balls across the water. It does sound like some nasty weather at Augusta here this weekend, particularly on Saturday, a lot of rain and things like that. So really interested to see how Tiger does in the tournament. Of course, big Tiger guy. Got a little bit of a limp, no surprise. I know some people out there think that he's milking it, but it's going to be tough. The weather does look garbage out there. It looks absolutely brutal. And I don't know, George, that doesn't seem like a great thing for Tiger. It's a hilly course, as our guy Alex Blickle is there. We talked to him last week about the course. He had been there before. Very hilly and tough for Tiger, I think, to kind of get up and down that course 4 days, especially if the weather is going to be bad. George says, Shane Lowry season. No chance you're putting your hard-earned bucks on Shane Lowry. The MLB bets are chirping me. Ha-ha! Yes! Shots fired at me. I had a great day yesterday in Major League Baseball. That was not a great day at all. My guy Wyszynski didn't get it done. I thought he had nice stuff yesterday for the Cubs. We talked about him as like a deep league sleeper in fantasy baseball drafts. I think we had over 4.5 strikeouts. He's on 4. And they did an 0-2 count on a guy, too, and just kind of hung a pitch over the middle of the plate, and then there was a double, and then he was taken out of the game. We'll be going back to him for sure. You know, first start, maybe some nerves. Last year, very small sample size, I think like 33 innings, and I think he was a strikeout per inning guy, and he really kind of, the command was there, but he did get hit hard, give up a couple bombs in Cincinnati, which is not the best ballpark for a pitcher. But ultimately, like, I did like his stuff. I thought he had some good stuff. He had a lot of like 2-strike counts yesterday as well, but he was just hanging some of his pitches. So if he can miss the plate on some of those, you know, 0-2 counts or 2-strike counts, maybe we can get a couple more punch outs from him. But nice chirps at me for the MLB picks yesterday and the NHL picks too. It was not a great day, but we're looking to bounce back, and we do have Nick Schlain, who's super sharp. So we're going to bring him in today on the show. Only 3 games on the ice, a massive game between the Flames and the Jets. It's significant. What the heck is wrong with the Flames last night, losing on home ice to the Chicago Blackhawks, who had lost 8 straight games? It's unacceptable. They don't deserve to be in the playoffs. that they took a big hit yesterday, but they could get in if they win tonight against the Jets. They'll be tied with them, but the Jets will have a game in hand. And if they lose tonight, it'll be all over for Georgia's Calgary Flames. There's no question about that. But we do have a couple picks. We have a same game parlay. We hit a 16-1 same game parlay when the Oilers played the Ducks. So yeah, we're kind of going right back to that one with Edmonton and Anaheim on the docket as well. And then a nice matchup between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Rangers. So lots of picks and props here on the show. And we're going to revisit NFL free agency. And there's been a couple trades that we really haven't dove into on this show. Brandon Cooks, now a member of the Dallas Cowboys. We talked a little bit about Elijah Moore with the Cleveland Browns, but we're going to look at some of the old faces in new places, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, a couple quarterbacks, what it means as we're just a couple weeks away from the NFL draft. So quick break. We're going to take a look at the early slate for those hanging out with us. And then we'll dive into the Jays and the Royals. Bluebirds picked up a win last night in Kansas City. And then the Los Angeles Angels with Shohei Ohtani on the bump against the Seattle Mariners, who crushed the Halos last night. So we'll dive into that. A lot to get to here on the show. We'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome back in. Chris Meany here with Nick Schlain, Electric Snuff on the Twitter machine of FTN. We just broke down the early slate. We do have a viewer in here asking a question about Hunter Gaddis, wondering if he is a good start here today against Oakland. That game happening this afternoon as well. I don't know too much about Hunter. I do know that he did not have a first good outing against the Mariners. He got rocked a little bit, but of course, Oakland, everybody always wants to look to maybe grabbing a pitcher against the A's, despite, you know, getting a couple runs in the series against Cleveland. Do you have any thoughts on Hunter? I mean, we're talking about, you know, spending up at the pitcher position. Do you have any thoughts here on Hunter and maybe potentially rolling him out here today? I'm just kind of looking over the fan graphs. I mean, so far, very small sample size, but looking at some of his minor league numbers, dude has issues keeping the ball in the park. That's one thing that I noticed. He's got a significant fly ball rate at 42% and very small sample size last year as well, but the fly ball rate was at 70% last year, and throughout the minors had some issues, you know, again keeping the ball in the park, but some high like strikeout numbers from as well. 102 punch outs in 76 innings, 56 and 45 in Triple A last season as well. Any thoughts on him?
Yeah, well, he's not on the main slate. That game is a little bit later, so that's at 3:30 it looks like. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned his numbers from last year, very tiny sample size, but they're not so great. Even the other day, like you mentioned, they're hitting the ball in the air quite a bit against him, 50% fly ball rate. Don't like that so much. He has pretty good control. You know, he got some strikeouts in that game against, I think it was Seattle. So yeah. I mean, I think he's okay. I think he's fine. But yeah, I don't know. I would need a little more context because he's not on the main slate, so I'm not really sure how we're using him at.
Yeah, I think it would be a FanDuel or maybe just a season long there. Maybe just wanted to pick him up and stream him potentially in season long. But if it is DraftKings, yeah, I don't know even what contest he would be on the two game afternoon slate, I suppose, I see here on DraftKings. Okay. You know, Cleveland and Oakland, and then the Angels and the Mariners. So between the four arms, and we can transition into LA and Seattle here now, but into the four arms, Kyle Muller for the Athletics, and then Hunter Gaddis there for Cleveland. So 6-5 on DK, 7-6 on FanDuel, similar price, or 7-6 for Muller on DK and 6-5 for Gaddis on DK, similar price on FanDuel. And then Ohtani, of course, up at the top at 9-6 and 7-1. How do you treat a two-game slate like that? I mean, how do you ignore Shohei Ohtani in a two-game slate?
So what I like to do on two-game slates is use both pitchers from one game and stack both teams on the other game. So it's like just a really easy way to, get to a good score. You could even do two lineups and cover all your bases this way, because it's just like one of the games is going to outscore the other game. And if it does by a significant amount, then, you know, you're on the right track, that way. So that's kind of how I like to go about it. I don't mind, Kyle Muller. I think that he looked pretty good in his first start against the Angels. So, I think his main problem is walking guys, and he had pretty good control the other day. So maybe the you know, the new pitching coach over there. You know, he came over from the Braves. So I think maybe they coached him up and fixed something with him, because, you know, the stuff has not been his problem. He was the top prospect with the Braves when they traded him. So he's always had good stuff. He just, you know, before that start, his he had a five, you know, walk per nine in the majors. So if he can fix that, that would be a big development for him.
Yeah, I thought the control was on point in that start, and he does have some strikeout upside. I mean, you nailed it. Some walk issues for him over the past few years. So if you can figure that out, that he could be actually a decent arm. I mean, he's their ace, right? I know it's not saying a whole lot, but he is their guy. He did start opening day for them. Let's get back to that Halos in Seattle matchup here this afternoon. This is, I guess, the rubber match here between these two squads. LA took the first one, and then Seattle spanked them last night. But Ohtani here is up on the bump. I saw them at minus 148 this morning, and now I'm seeing the best possible odds now at minus 167 on the Halo side of things. Of course, use the prop shop and the parlay calculator to get the best possible odds. And then Seattle run out Chris Flexen. I guess this would be Robbie Ray's start, but he is not with the in the rotation right now on the IL. So Flexen gets the call. Flexen actually, like, some decent numbers for him over the past couple of years, especially at home, even though he's a guy that doesn't strike out a lot of batters. But, you know, at home, is the ballpark there has kind of helped him a little bit. I thought a couple years ago he had a really good season, but the xFIP and the ERA just didn't really line up. For Ohtani, just this is classic Angels, and I brought this up after his first start where he lost, even though, well, he didn't get the loss, but the team lost. And Shohei Ohtani's outing was the 26th since 1901, Nick, with 10-plus strikeouts, no runs allowed on opening day. It's the first time that pitcher's team lost the game. So this is a classic Halos. They blew that game late for Ohtani, but he was electric. He had 10 punchouts. His strikeout prop's 7.5 today. You guys know how I feel. I mean, I take anything for Ohtani that's not 8.5. I take the over. Are you leaning over 7.5? It's a little bit of juice now. It's kind of moved to minus 125, but what do you think about that number?
Yeah, tungsten arm O'Doyle, right? So yeah, I think I think you take the over with Ohtani. I think he's just like you said, anything that's under 8.5 looks pretty good from him. So yeah, I got the odds on DK there. Yeah, people have been betting it. It's getting juice, but I think you know, I think it's the way to go. You know, 33% K percentage for Ohtani last year. Oh yeah, my lights are flickering because this is a tornado watch. So hopefully I don't lose you.
Oh man, hopefully you're okay. Sidebar here for a second. I've only been doing TikTok lately because we have an FTN TikTok account. I'm doing some props and some videos on there, and I'm mostly just checking off for sports. But I watched one tornado video, and now it's all I see is tornado videos, and I know how crazy they are south of the border. So hopefully you're okay, and we don't have a live TikTok, you know, tornado watch video here on this show. That'd be wild, but stay safe.
Yeah, I did see one of those the other day where it was like footage from a drone.
Yeah,
that was pretty wild. So yeah, let's get back to it. I mean, hopefully I'll be fine, but but yeah, Ohtani, I mean, I don't think this Mariners lineup is like super strikeout heavy, but I mean, there's a decent amount of guys like Cal Raleigh, Eugenio Suarez, Teoscar Hernandez, Kelnick, if he's in there, Hummel, if he's in there, all those guys over, 25% K percentage against right-hand pitching last year. Ohtani, you know, over 30% against both right and left-handed hitters last year with K percentage. So, you know, in that first start too, his K prop was just too low. It was like 6.5, I think.
Oh yeah.
And, he left him in the dust. It was a good spot to go with a little strikeout ladder, with him there against Oakland. Obviously Seattle better lineup than Oakland, but I just think, I think with the pitch clock too, I think it's actually, you know, it kind of gives the advantage to some of these pitchers. You're seeing a lot of high strikeout games early in the season. So, I mean, it can go both ways. There's been some overs have been hitting, with the offensive scoring, but also I think the, you know, some of these pitchers, you know, when they get in a groove, you know, some of the batters want to call timeout. Yeah, you know, some of these exactly. batters, they're not calling timeout until it's a full count. And, you know, I think by then, you know, Ohtani's not getting into many full counts these days. He's just kind of firing, and he's been ready to go. I mean, he's been pitching a little bit as a closer in the World Baseball Classic. So, I mean, he's maybe even uniquely prepared for the start of the season.
The timeout thing is interesting. I heard Trout talk about it because he actually calls timeout quite a bit. And he said, like, it's kind of messed him up. Like, usually when, you know, he's in the batter's box and he says, like, there's a bit of a pause there, the pitcher's holding on. He's just like, he likes to call time and kind of reset. But I mean, you can't. You can only do that once, and you can't reset like that. We're going to reset here. I see you're flicking. I hope you're good. We're going to try to bring him back one more time. We're going to break, and we're going to dive into the Jays and the Royals here on Mean Street. So let's keep our fingers crossed for Nick's safety, and also because he's going to come with the insight here next. So Blue Jays and Royals next on Mean Streets. Back in a couple. Welcome back in. Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network, presented by So Rare, also live on our FTN Network YouTube page. See some people hanging out. Smash the like button. We just wrapped up with the Halos in Seattle. We're taking a look at the afternoon later slate. I know there's a lot of games happening here early this afternoon, so taking care of the Game Plus Network people. And speaking of them, north border in the Toronto area, the Bluebirds picked up a win yesterday against Kansas City. So 2-3, 1-4 for Kansas City. They are home here, and the Jays, of course, as you see, are favorite at -180. Again, I'll reference the prop shop and parlay calculator to get the best possible odds. Alek Manoah, who I do like overall as a pitcher. I think maybe, you know, the fantasy community gets a little bit too excited about him. Like, he's just been like an 8K per nine guy over the course of his career, some velocity issues in spring, and he got rocked in his first outing in St. Louis. He gave up 5 earned runs, 2 bombs, walked 2, only struck out 3 3⅓, and he allowed 9 hits. So not a great first outing for him. And up against Zach Greinke, who's still kicking, still hanging around. You want to talk about velocity? Certainly not there when it comes to Zach Greinke. 5⅓ in his first outing, 4 strikeouts in the 1 walk. What do you make of this matchup? And I jumped on a Toronto-based show yesterday, and it was complete panic mode. Everyone was asking me about Barrios and Kikuchi, who did, you know, have a good showing yesterday, and the lack of offense to start. Do you have any concerns? Is it just, hey, it's early, it's cold, they started on the road, this offense is going to be fine, and what do you make of this matchup tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think their offense, you know, will be fine. I think, you know, they didn't get off to the greatest start against St. Louis. The hitting weather was pretty good there, and that one game against Flaherty, I mean, I watched that, and he was just walking everybody, and he was hitting batters. So, I mean, I kind of get it that he maybe not even effectively wild. He was just so wild that it was tough to square him up. You know, he ended up striking out Varsho with men on base. I mean, they just left a village on the base paths in that
belt
game.
Too.
It was belt left 5 guys on in the first 3 innings. I stacked the Blue Jays in DFS that day.
Me too.
I was just like,
me too.
I thought, you know, Flaherty, you know, hasn't pitched in a while. You know, people love Jack Flaherty. You know, I'm rooting for him too, but it's just like, he hasn't really been that good since 2019. Hasn't, you know, been durable at all. So, I liked some of their moves that they made. I'm a big Yankees guy. I was born in New York, but I do like some of the moves the Blue Jays made. I'm a big fan of Dalton Varsho. You know, got a really good player for, you know, DFS purposes, hits home runs, steals bases. I really like the belt move. And, you know, while he's cheap in DFS, I mean, it stinks that on DraftKings, you have to kind of pick between him and Vlad Guerrero Jr. because they're both first base. But I think, you know, if you play on FanDuel, you can use him. You can use both of them. But yeah, just with this matchup, you know, I wasn't surprised that Manoah got hit around in his first start. His velocity has been down in spring training. And that's kind of, you know, where I'm looking at with this matchup too. I mean, I 5.5 is not the biggest strikeout prop. You know, I wish it was 6.5 taking the under. It would be a little more comfortable, but I think, you know, the Royals lineup is not a super strikeout heavy lineup. I think as a collective against right-hand pitching last year, these guys had like a 21% strikeout rate. And you got a lot of guys like Manoah last year His K percentage is 28% against righties, but only 18% against lefties. The Royals lineup is not out, but their projected lineup, you know, they'll have at least three or four lefties in there. So that kind of takes a little ding on Manoa. And then, you know, some of these guys, Pasquantino is just really hard to strike out, 12% K percentage against right-hand pitching last year. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. I mean, I like Alek Manoah too. I mean, he's cost me some money in DFS before where I had him. One of his first starts a couple years ago against the Orioles, where he was throwing a great game and then he gave up back-to-back home runs. And then he started yelling at the dugout and got ejected from the game.
That.
That was brutal for me personally, but so he's not my favorite overall, but so I do like, you know, good odds there, plus 105 with the under here. I think it's a good spot to take advantage. I mean, I think he will get it together as the year goes on, but right now his velocity's down, and even though he's facing a team like the Royals on the road, should be a good matchup, you know, for pitching, but it's not the best matchup for strikeouts. I mean, I could see the Blue Jays still winning this game, but I don't think he's in for a big strikeout ceiling type of game here.
I was going to ask you about that too. I think the Jays will get it done offensively. And I like everything that you said. And that's what I said really on the Toronto Bay Show yesterday, is love the additions of the lefty bats, right? They've just been so right-handed heavy over the past couple of years, and bringing a couple lefty bats to kind of mix up the lineup a little bit. Love Varsho. And Belt will be fine. I know he's a lot older, but you got him as a guy who can step in against right-handed pitching and just, you know, provide a little bit of a spark there. He's going to have lots of opportunity to drive in runs. So hopefully he's not leaving four or five on for the Jays fans there every other day. Quan, do you have World Series odds? I couldn't find it. It's okay if you don't have it. We'll put Nick here on the spot. We don't need really any odds, but who are a couple teams that you like? Maybe to, I know you said you're a Yankees guy, but look at this, all over it. I mean, you could reference long shots if you want or value, but ultimately we're looking for winners. Who are a couple teams that kind of catch your eye?
I do like the Yankees this year. I think the Yankees are going to make some additions as the season goes on. I mean, obviously they're going to get Carlos Rodon back in the rotation, Luis Severino back in the rotation. You know, when that happens, I think the big move was them adding Rodon and the Astros losing Verlander. Because I think absolutely, at the end of the day, it's going to be the Yankees and the Astros in the ALCS again. And without Verlander, Verlander's kind of been the trump card in those series the last few years. And really, I do like taking American League teams, just because I think the National League is so loaded that I think whoever comes out of the National League, like you saw last year, like the Phillies had to go through just an absolute gauntlet of teams to get to the World Series. And it's not that they had nothing left in the World Series, but it was just, you know, the Astros had Verlander, and that was the key game five in Philly, that he ended up winning that game, gutting through that game. So yeah, I think the Yankees make a lot of sense. I also, you know, if you're talking long shots, you know, you mentioned the Rays, you know, the Rays will be getting Tyler Glasnow back as well for that rotation at some point. So, and they also signed Zach Eflin, who looked really good in his first start against the Tigers.
Yeah, he's an underrated arm.
Yeah, definitely. They have him throwing a new reverse changeup. So, I mean, that's pretty interesting to me as well. I think if you're looking at the National League, my two favorites in the National League are the Padres, just with these odds too, with the Padres and the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals at 20-1, you know, they were even bigger long shot last year, but I think people kind of have realized how strong this lineup is. It's absolutely loaded.
It's very deep.
So maybe, yeah, it's deep. So maybe they don't have the high end pitching, but I think the Padres are kind of the best mix. You know, they're going to get Joe Musgrove back. When you have Musgrove, Blake Snell, Yu Darvish, you know, their GM likes to make trades. I think I could see them making a trade for another pitcher during the season. And then you just look at this lineup that's going to get Fernando Tatis back. So that gives them Xander Bogaerts, Tatis, Soto. You know, that's just going to be tough to deal with in the playoffs. And then, of course, you know, they also signed Nelson Cruz, who hit his first home run yesterday.
That's right.
We all know what Nelson Cruz can do. He had a problem with his vision last year that he got corrective surgery in the offseason. So even though he's, you know, 40 plus years old, 42 or something now, he can really hit. And you know, with the DH in the National League, I just think he's another guy. You know, if he can be healthy in the playoffs, you know, that could be huge for them. But I could also see, I could see that it being similar where these National League teams just kind of beat up on each other, and then the Yankees just come in and win the World Series. I mean, I think the Yankees, it's tough to say World Series because there's going to be trades. I mean, just the way baseball is now, you have the haves and the have nots. And halfway through the season, you know, some of these teams are going to throw their hands up. Like we mentioned Brian Reynolds at the top of the show, like if he can't get an extension done
right
with the Pirates, I mean, he would be such a perfect fit with the Yankees. So, I mean, I'm more like hoping that happens. You know, I don't know what a Shohei Ohtani trade might look like if he if the Angels were to fall out of the race and decide it's time to trade him because he's a pending free agent as well. So. You know, that would obviously swing the odds, whoever would acquire him. So, it's kind of tough with a lot of things still up in the air. It's very early in the season, but yeah, that's kind of how I'm approaching it.
The Yankees will be aggressive trying to get Shohei. I know the Mets will be aggressive. The Padres have been, as you mentioned, super aggressive, making trades and splashes over the past couple of years as well. So it'd be interesting for sure. I love the Padres call. I really do. I know that they've disappointed people who have taken shots on them, but I feel like the Dodgers are taking a bit of a step back this season. And you mentioned Tatis and the pitching staff, the rotation, getting Musgrove, Xander's off to a hot start, having that veteran bat, Cruz in that lineup. I mean, it's a deadly 1-5, and they got some guys that I like towards the bottom of their lineup as well with some upside. Cronenworth just signed a contract. I think he's a good bat as well. There's a lot to like about the Padres, but I kind of view that the same way as the NHL. Like in the NHL, it's so loaded in the East. I think the value is in the West, where those teams in the East will beat up on each other, and maybe we see a team in the West kind of surprise, like a Dallas or an LA or an Edmonton or something like that, where in Major League Baseball, the NL is so loaded where, you know, there is value. I know everybody's sick of the Astros, but there is value with the Astros and the Yankees, and the path is much easier for those two teams than in the National League. Dude, fantastic. I appreciate it. I'm glad so far you're safe. Hopefully a good day for you over there. Enjoy the Major League Baseball. Appreciate this, Nick. Let's do it again very soon. We're going to say goodbye right now to Electric Snuff on the Twitter machine. We do have a couple more picks for you. We're going to turn our attention to the NHL and a couple NFL news and notes items to take care of as well. Thanks, Nick. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be back here in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome back. I want to thank Nick here, and just got a couple NHL props for you guys. Went a little long there with Nick. Was going to dive into some NFL free agency stuff. We'll try to take a look at it in the final block here. So there's really not a lot of action. I thank George for putting the Labatt next to Braden Point. He is not a big Braden Point fan. He's been down the road before. Doesn't like Braden Point. Doesn't want to take his shot props because he feels like he always scores a goal and then he only has like two shots. But there's really not a lot on the board today. I don't want to give you guys picks for just the sake of giving picks, but I do like Braden Point tonight. He's up to 48 goals in the season. Whether you believe in milestones or not, guys are going to be looking to set him up for goal number 50. He's got 3 goals in his last 3 games. He's got 5 goals over his last 6 games as well. He's got 2 games over his last 3 with 3-point showings, and he is plus money for an assist if you're not feeling the shot prop. A plus 110 here. It's not an awful spot against the New York Rangers. This should be a good one. Like, the Rangers can score some goals. They've been high-flying since the additions of Tarasenko and Patrick Kane, but also their 5-5 play is not that impressive. And Tampa's kind of turned it up here a little bit. You know, about a month ago, we talked about John Cooper benching, you know, the 3 superstars in the entire third period for Braden Point and Steven Stamkos, as well as Nikita Kucherov. But the past couple of games, they've been much better on point. It's kind of like they flipped the switch, right? It's kind of what they do. They've been in the Stanley Cup Finals 3 years in a row, and also in goal, we've seen strong goaltending from our boy. And Vasilevskiy, excuse me, trying to think of his name. Oh, yeah, who's that guy? Oh, yeah, Andre Vasilevskiy, pretty good at the game of hockey, right? Anyways, Braden Point over 2.5 shots at plus 110. As I mentioned, also interested in the assist prop, but I'm going with the shots here. And then Mika Zibanejad. Zibanejad has only cleared in three of his past five games. And there were a couple games there where he was stuck on zero. But I do like Mika here. In fact, he does have a lengthy history going back into last year's playoffs as well as really having his way against Vasilevskiy and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, you know, maybe for a point as well or for him to find the back of the net, he's up to 39 goals, just one away from 40. And he's got 44 helpers. In fact, he's hit the score sheet three of his last four hockey games and 3 points on the power play as well. And you can go all the way back up to March 14th. This guy's hit the score sheet in every single game, but three. And then Leon Draisaitl. And we can transition from here into the same game parlay. Hope you guys can see this here from Bet365. So this one pays 14-1. We did this the other day and it paid 16-1. I don't know if it's going to go the same way. The Edmonton Oilers are absolutely red hot right now. I love the way that they're playing. They're getting great goaltending from Skinner between the pipes. They've won 5 straight games at a big W last night. We were on them against the LA Kings, a 3-1 win. Draisaitl's got 51 goals, 4 in his last 2. But when they played the Ducks the other day, it was April 1st. No joke. 6-0 win for the Oilers. Leon Draisaitl had 9 shots on goal and 3 goals. And we had this same, we had Nugent Hopkins for 2 points, Draisaitl for 2 points, Hyman for 2 points, Evander Kane for a point. We had McDavid to score and we had Draisaitl to score. What we included in that game was the Oilers to win on the puck line. If you add the Oilers to the puck line to this same game parlay, it's not going to do you any good. You're not going to get it. The odds are not going to increase because they're just that heavy favorites here tonight. But in that matchup, we saw Draisaitl with a hat trick and 9 shots, McDavid with a goal, 2 points, 5 shots, Evander Kane with an assist and 5 shots. We had Ryan Nugent Hopkins with the assist and 2 shots. And then we had Hyman over 2 points. So the only one here that's different from the other night is the Ryan Nugent Hopkins over 1.5 points. Maybe you want to get him just for an apple instead and assist, but I think a 2-point night is in play for the Nuge. Quick break. We'll be back in a couple to wrap up the show. What's going on, guys? This segment going to be pretty quick. We are going to have to visit the NFL stuff tomorrow. I went a little long there with Nick, but I thought it was good stuff, so I wanted to keep him there for a little bit longer. I'm just going to reference, again, the PGA promo that we have going on over at FTN Bets, FTNDaily.com, and right here, Azalea. So we have a lot of content over at FTN. We just saw the hot takes article from Alex Blickle. We have a lot of DFS coverage there for you guys as well to take a look at. And of course, ftnbets.com/free and ftndaily.com/free. You can check out all of the work for free. Get a couple picks that you like. We have some props for the Masters. We have some outrates there as well as it gets underway tomorrow. I am on 3 golfers. I like Rory up at the top. And I like Jordan Spieth as well. And you know what, guys? I know people aren't going to like it, but Brooks Koepka. I am on Brooks Koepka here. He's got a history of winning majors. And I know we don't have a lot of data from Liv, but he's coming in decent form. I've seen that he's had some success. So those are the 3 guys that I'm on. But you can check out ftnbets.com, ftndaily.com for more. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. We'll talk to you soon.